Isaiah was handed him, he unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of our God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captive, recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor." Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he said to them, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture passage is fulfilled." A word from our holy scriptures. Thanks.
This is the last week before Lent, and the last week of the sermon series that I've been sharing with you on the objectives of the United Church as they pertain to what the church is about and how and what we hope to achieve in the coming years as a church. The objectives are goals to find ways to be the church in a world that is changing so quickly. And the three objectives, as we move more intentionally toward a meaningful future in the church, are deep spirituality, which I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, bold discipleship, which I spoke about last week, and the last one today is daring justice. Daring justice. By the way, if you do miss a week in a series and you want to go back and listen to any message, you'll find them, not the whole service, just the message, actually, on online on our website, Okotoks United Church. And you can just go to click to the sermons and you'll find those there. Daring justice is one of those things that probably since its inception, the United Church has been particularly known by. The United Church was established by an act of Parliament in 1925, and it has been actually quite involved in politics throughout the whole history, 100 years now, of the United Church. Stepping out and speaking up for the disenfranchised and dismissed people in our country is one of the things that we've taken seriously about our faith. Of course, we haven't always gotten it right, the church, and sometimes we're not very good at follow-through on what we think we want to do. Yet it is still a strong value and a goal of the United Church. I'm not sure these days that they're really on the cutting edge of daring justice, as more and more people in the world are being made aware of the injustice in the world and are out there trying to do something about it. Yet we have always, as Jesus did, proclaimed that daring justice is integral to the work of the church and that our faith calls us toward that goal, to care for those who are underserved and underrepresented in the decision-making in our communities. Of course, the most potent tool for justice is love. Love for neighbor, as if they are ourselves. When we love our neighbor, making sure that they are cared for, then we are enacting justice. Jesus called on people to care for whoever had need. And that's often our neighbors. This is really an important subject these days as injustice is becoming more evident and particularly pertinent this week as things unfold around the shooting in Tumbler Ridge, BC. It would appear, and we may never have the full story, of course, that there could be a case made for needing to pay more attention to systems that create conditions for people with mental health needs that are being ignored or underserved. We need to notice when people are struggling. We cannot turn a blind eye to our neighbors because they live in our communities. After Jesus left home and he was traveling around to different parts of the country preaching and teaching, He went back again to his hometown, and as was common to go on the Sabbath, the Saturday, to synagogue, he went to synagogue and they asked him to read scripture. And they unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and Jesus stood up to read. And he read from Isaiah that God's Spirit had anointed Isaiah to preach good news to the poor, liberate those who were captive, heal the blind, care for the prisoner, proclaim God's favor to people. And then Jesus said, as he was sitting down, "That's why I'm here. That's why I came. That's why we're here." Jesus was no soft, timid pushover when it came to calling out those who ignored the most important issues of the day. He was, and still is, a threat to power, a force for justice, a fierce advocate who waded into the political arena of his day and challenged the rich and the powerful. Lest you think that the church or Jesus are apolitical, or what Jesus stayed away from speaking forcefully to the ruling authorities of his day, read the Bible. You'll find out. One of his primary objectives was speaking truth to power. And if we claim to be Jesus followers, as we spoke about last week, we will do the same. We will speak up for justice against power. When we profess to love our neighbors and care for the least and the lost, we are saying that we will speak out against injustice, fight for what is right, and not let anyone suffer needlessly. Perhaps we need to start with a baseline. By the way, this is going to be an interactive service today. Can we agree that all human beings come into the world in the same way? Helpless and naked. We have nothing, right? We can't even look after ourselves. However, we are not all born into the same circumstances. Is that true as well? Okay. And the circumstances that a child is born to is not up to their control. They cannot control it. Some will have better opportunities than others by virtue of the conditions they were born in or even where they were born. So at this point, when you see all the children born in the world, would you agree that all people in the world are deserving of dignity, respect, and the means to live a decent life? Okay. So we start there. We also know that there are many who don't get that opportunity simply because of the circumstances that they're in, not by their own fault, right? So in order to practice justice for anybody, we really have to understand the nature of injustice. And there are lots of definitions out there today. You can form your own. But today we're going to keep it simple. And for today, we're also going to speak of humans, although there is justice for the earth as well and other non-human creatures. So here's how we're defining injustice today. Keith, any system that prevents people from having a fair chance at living a decent life. Okay? That's injustice. Any system that prevents people from having a fair chance at living a decent life. Notice that that definition doesn't posit that everyone does get equal access or should have equal access to everything, or that people will have the opportunity to live a great life. Not everybody does. It suggests that everybody should have a fair chance of living a decent life, which of course is open to interpretation. Everyone is going to see it differently. But what would the bare minimum include? If people were to live a decent life, what would be the bare minimum? Food, shelter, clothing, water, I'll add. Education. Clean water. Sorry? Love, healthcare, yeah. Anything else? Safety, I think safety is an important one. Education. Sorry? Freedom. And what we mean by freedom, because there's different freedom generally to at least make decisions for their own selves and their own lives. That's kind of freedom. We all countries have different levels of freedom, right? But would you agree that most people should have at least the right, if they have the capacity, to make decisions for their own lives? Freedom. I also believe that everybody who is able should have the means to make a living. Would that make sense too? Somehow, people should be able to make a decent living. Okay, if this is injustice, then justice would simply be removing all systemic barriers that prevent people from having access to what they need to live a decent life. If injustice is a system that creates barriers or prevents people, then injustice is removing those barriers. Okay, that's simple, trying to remove barriers. So this suggests then that it is systems that create injustice on a broad scale. Systems, not individuals. And there, yes, of course, there are many injustices that are perpetrated on a regular basis against individuals through prejudice or whatever's going on. But broad and ingrained injustice in the world persists because of systems that actually exist to prop up these injustices. Okay? And what I also want to clarify what justice is, and it's not, justice isn't helping one person to have a better life. Okay? Although we need to do this as well, because people are in bad circumstances. Justice is actually changing systems that allow for all people in a particular situation to have a decent life. Helping individuals is a stopgap or a band-aid measure, and they are important. What are these kinds of things? Sorry? Wheelchair accessibility. That's helping people, but if we got wheelchair accessibility, that would be justice. If we got it for everyone, that would actually be justice. What are the stopgap measures we use in our society because we can't change the system? Food banks. Yep. What else do we do? Safe injection sites. Yes. We do some here. School lunches, yes. What else? Jack-a-rack, yep. Benevolent fund. All of these are stopgap measures for a few people, but it's not a systemic change. Rowan House. EI, yes. EI. Low-income housing. Yeah, there are lots of things we do, and we feel proud about doing those things, and they're necessary, but it's generally they're necessary because we haven't given people the means to look after themselves. Pardon? They're band-aids, that's right. They do not change the systems that persistently create inequity or prejudice or disenfranchisement for people. So how do we engage in justice? And whose responsibility is it? Today I thought we'd do something a little different. Let's look at what justice looks like in some practical situations. What would it take to change a system that would make circumstances better for the groups that I'm going to be talking about? Because enacting justice doesn't mean one size fits all. Different situations require different solutions. So let's talk about a few. And what are the barriers? So let's talk about the first one. A single mom with a minimum wage job, two kids, very little child support, and receives a child tax credit, but still under the poverty line for a family of three. Single mom, family of three, under the poverty line. What are the barriers for them living a decent life? Childcare. What kind of childcare? Yeah, work affordable. Affordable. Yeah, so barriers to extracurricular activities for the kids. Affordable housing. Yep. So, affordable housing, perhaps. Somebody else said something over here. Quite often, yes. Right. So post-secondary education, that's what Carol and Patty just said. And it's true. If you're in a cycle of poverty, post-secondary education is so expensive these days. And so there's cycles of poverty that you can't get out of. Benefits. Even to pay for benefits. Glasses, dental work, whatever. Yeah, all of that stuff. Getting that. Yeah, continuing education for the mom or help for the mom. And even the mom who, you know, tries to work, often if her children are sick, she loses out on income, right? Because she can't work. There's lots of barriers here. What would be justice in this case then? Living wages. What are we talking about? That's what we're talking about, Heather. We're talking about a minimum wage that is under poverty line right now, right? There's a bit of a catch-22. You know, business owners would like to pay their employees living wage, and yet they can't. This is a barrier. This is a problem. If you're a business owner, you find it hard to pay employees. But if you're a worker at minimum wage, you can't pay for life. It's a challenge. There has to be solutions to this. So justice is affordable child care. Across the board, right? We know that there's $10 childcare, almost impossible to have for half the people who need it to get into it. It's a challenge. Pardon? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Dean's talking about guaranteed annual income, and it has been proven in different places to work. A guaranteed annual income, and it's been tried in Canada, and it worked. It's just the people have to have the will for a guaranteed annual income. So that would be justice. Affordable childcare, grants for post-secondary education, even childcare for a mom so she has a respite. You know, she has to go to work, and then she has nobody at night, or things like that. And so what's one thing we could do as individuals in this situation? Babysit. Pay more taxes. Yeah. So we had this discussion at De Winton, and people in Canada don't like to pay more taxes. did anybody hear about the MP from, I think it's New Brunswick? This week, who didn't want to take the extra pay because his pay was going to be bumped up by $10,000 in April, I think that's when it was going. Do you know what an average backbencher MP makes in Parliament? $210,000. A backbencher. $210,000. He didn't want to take the extra $10,000. He said, here we are in a party that's talking about affordable living, and we're making, you know, in the triple digits. Somebody said, where's all our money going? I kind of said, you know, we live in a big country. Most of it goes to infrastructure. You know, we can't afford a lot of things because we have a big country and we have a lot of infrastructure. And somebody said, no, it's going to government. It appears to be a lot going to government. Yeah. Anyway, we can do something. What about this one? on the other side of the scale. A senior woman with no children, and I know some of them, lives simply on only basic CPP and OAS, and maybe has a savings of about $25,000. What's the barriers here? Internet. Yeah. It costs, right? Okay, Joan. Ah, that's one I haven't thought of, but thank you. One of the barriers these days is you have to do everything online now. Right? If you don't have a way to do that, or the means to do that, or the know-how to do that, you kind of get stuck. I remember this with my stepmom. She wouldn't do it because she didn't know how. She got stubborn about it. But you lose out on a lot if you don't know how to do these things. It's a good one. What other barriers are there? Yeah, so cost of living goes up and benefits don't go up. Transportation. For your taxi. Yeah. Yeah. Transportation. Healthcare. What else? Housing is huge. Yeah. Yeah, cost of nursing homes, really, really expensive. Wait list is long. Just heard a doctor, I don't know if you, Dr. Brian Golding, said that we have many, many, many seniors who are living in hospitals because there's no space for them in seniors' care. Which costs? Unless you pay for it, right? Someplace like even Heartland or, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month. Living on CPP and OAS, you can't afford that. Yep, based on income. Yep, so. Ah, so you, Tamara was just saying you lose disability benefits at 65. Or you go off age and then you go on to CPP and OAS, CPP and OAS, yeah, and that's not much. Especially if you haven't worked, you don't get a lot of CPP. CPP disability, all your disability incomes, yep. So there are barriers here as well. Let's do one more. Young woman with mental instability has moved many times with her family and feels like an outsider in the community. What are the barriers here? Isolation is huge. Really, really limited mental health supports for young people, for anybody these days. Yes. Yep. Patty's saying from middle class down, it's a barrier to get mental health supports because you can pay for it, but it's a lot of money to have one session for mental health support. And to get it for young people is really a challenge and pay for that. Should it be like just make an appointment with your doctor? Probably. We could help a lot. Isolation, though, is a big one. Yeah. Sorry? Employment. Employment is a big issue. Yep. 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 Mental health supports, employment. Yeah. Yeah. So I put this one in here yesterday because of what happened in Tumbler Ridge. This is a young woman who, you know, who had no supports, isolated, family had moved many times, nobody knew her well, she was old enough to be out of the school system, and where do you find help? Where do you find help? Yeah, so a lack of support within the school system even now. Very few workers to help out, so here's our issues. I mean, these issues are all tangled up. But they usually go back, whether we like it or not, to systems that have been put in place by us, governments, that sort of thing. If they are to be fixed, it has to be us. There is nobody else to do this. Vote for people who want to make change. There are so many other issues. People of color, mentally ill people, people coming out of prisons, those kinds of things. There are so many issues today in our world that require systemic change. And if we don't figure out how to do this, it just gets worse as populations rise. Who is responsible then for all of these folks that we're talking about? We are, all of us, yeah. There's nobody else, like I said. These are our neighbors. Don't think for a moment that what happened in that little community of Tumbler Ridge couldn't happen in this community as well. In fact, just it was happening, right, Ryan? Ryan gets a text from his wife saying, there is an active shooter in Okotoks. Happened to be somebody in a family situation, or we don't know exactly what it was. But anyway, these are our neighbors. They might be next door, or they may not be next door, but they are in our communities. And remember, I want you to remember this as well. Our hearts go out for these, but we can't do everything. None of us, you know, can do everything and deal with everything. It's a collective responsibility. Somebody over here is working with seniors, somebody else over here is working with children, somebody else is working with the LGBTQ community, somebody else is working with seniors, those kinds of things. We can't do it all. But what can we do? Because it's our collective responsibility. If there is one, just one injustice that we're passionate about, think about one thing you can do, even write a letter, tell your MPs, and do something about that one thing, focus energy. Jesus said, I came for these people, for the poor, the prisoners, those who are held captive, the forgotten. Following Jesus means we're going to be here for them too, whoever shows up at our doors. May our hearts be moved by those to whom Jesus gave special attention. And may the world be just a little bit better because we actually care. Let's take a moment to reflect.